Today's shit and such the cool and daf samach dalad. We will begin on daf samach on the days, five lines from the bottom. Tan rabbanon, loichin beim and oyv dekacham mekom makom. One may buy eggs from goyim in any place, and as the mefarshim explain, what the gemara means to say by saying the words mekom makom is that even in a place where there are mostly non-kosher eggs available, our Gemara is teaching us we may buy eggs from Akum in such an area, and we need not be concerned. We know that the egg of a nevela and the egg of a trefa may not be eaten. Says our Gemara, we may buy these eggs, and we need not be concerned that the Akum is selling us the egg of a kosher egg, the egg of a kosher bird, but the bird was nevel or trefa. We need not be concerned about it. Ask the Gemara, but why shouldn't we be concerned? The Dilma, the Oif Tamei Minhu, perhaps this egg is the egg of a bird that's a non-kosher bird. Answers the Gemara, Amar Avu the Shmuel, but Omer shall oif plony tahar. By identifying which bird it came from, and then we'll be able to check if what he's saying is true, because we'll take the egg that we have and compare it to other eggs of that bird that he identified this egg came from. We therefore have a way of making sure what he's saying is true, and the Akum is aware that we could always check up on him. And because he's aware we could always check up on him, we'll be sure that he's saying the truth. The Rishonim ask, the why do we have to rely on all of these svaris that we're saying now? Why isn't it obvious that we could rely on the Akum? Because as we could rely that the egg is a kosher egg, because we just learned in our previous year that most birds are kosher birds. And if most birds are kosher birds, then obviously most eggs are kosher. So the number of answers given to this question by the Rishonim. One teretz that the Rishonim give is that even though most birds are kosher, that means most types of birds are kosher, but that doesn't mean that there aren't more non-kosher birds in the world than there are kosher birds. And it could be explained in a number of ways. Either just that the non-kosher species multiply much more than the kosher species, or that, as we learned in the previous year, that just from the ayah alone, there are 100 species. So maybe, as indeed we learned in the previous year, there are only 24 or 23 species of non-kosher birds, but those species have many further subdivisions, and therefore there is a real concern. That's one pshat. Another pshat, that's Tosfos pshat. The Ramban takes a different approach. The Ramban's approach is that, yes, there are more kosher species than non-kosher species, as we just said, but there are still a significant amount of non-kosher species. Coupled with the fact that although most kosher birds are not nevelus or trefus, there are still a significant amount of birds that are nevelus or trefus. So if we combine the nevelus or trefus with the non-kosher species, we already have a real room for concern. Another pshat that I saw that the Mefarshim suggest, very much in line with what we have been learning, is that there are different places in the world, and in some places in the world there are more non-kosher species than in kosher species. Generally there are more kosher birds, but in certain areas in the world there are more non-kosher birds. And our Gemara began that this halacha that we're discussing is applicable to all areas, and therefore we need to be concerned even in those places. Another pshat that the Rivash seems to suggest. Rivash seems to suggest that there is, besides that there is, indeed there is a halacha
he says, that we could rely on Rav. He says that even though the halacha is that we can rely on Rav, says the Rivash, there is a special chiyuv for us to make sure that the food that we eat is kosher. And relying on Rav doesn't fulfill that obligation. The pasuk says, l'habdil ben atamei uben ator. We have an obligation to be able to determine conclusively that the food that we eat is kosher, and therefore just relying on a rov is inadequate. We've been explaining our Gemara, and this is the Girsan our Gemara, that we're speaking here, what is the halacha, when is the goy neman, and when is a goy not neman. However, there is the Girsan of the Rambam, which according to the Rambam, a goy is never neman. Our Gemara, according to the Rambam, is discussing a Yisrael Choshev, a Yisrael who doesn't have a Cheskas Kashrus, and our Gemara is saying, under which circumstances can we rely on this Yisrael who doesn't have a Cheskas Kashrus? It's quite clear in the opinion of the Rishonim that when we speak about a Yisrael that has a Cheskas Kashrus, then certainly a Yisrael that comes with Cheskas Kashrus and sells us eggs, we could rely on what he says. There is, on the other hand, an opinion of the Rabbeinu Tam, who, unlike the Rambam, the opposite of the Rambam, treats a Yisrael Choshed worse than he treats an Akum. And he seems to hold that even though an Akum, under the circumstances that we're learning in our Gemara, would be trusted, a Yisrael Choshed is never to be trusted. Ask the Gemara, Vilema shall oif tahor, if we need that the Akum should say that it's from a kosher species, why does he have to identify which species? Answers the Gemara, Ihachi Islay Lishtamuti, because if he won't identify which species, and then he'll always have a way to say that this was from this species or from that species. We won't have a way of investigating the truthfulness of what he's saying. Ask the Gemara, but why not Livdek B'Simonim? Why don't we always have a way of checking if what he said is true or not? By looking at the signs. Aren't there signs that show us what are a kosher egg? The Titania, because the Braisa teaches us, Kisimonim Beyim, Kach Simoni Dogim. Just like there are signs on eggs, so too are there signs of fish. Ask the Gemara, can we say that the signs of what identify a kosher egg are the same signs that identify what are kosher fish? Simone Daugim Salkadaitech, as we learned and will learn, the signs of a kosher fish, snapper the kaskesis on Rachmana. The Torah is very clear, fins and scales. Eggs don't have fins and scales. Ela Eima, rather what the Gemara means to say, Kach Simone Uvrei Daugim. The way most Rishonim say, the Girsan of Gemara, is that the row of eggs, the row of fish, is a cluster of eggs, and the shape of the row in kosher fish is similar to the shape of eggs of kosher birds. That's the way most Rishonim learn, and the Girsan is Uvrei Dogim, which refers to the row. There are Rishonim, the Rif's Girsan, that his girsa is kirvei dogim, that we're going to discuss later in our masechta, if we're allowed to eat the innards of a fish. And there the Gemara says that the simonim of the innards of the fish are similar to the simonim of dogim. V'tani gabi dogim, and what are the simonim of eggs? Elein simoni beim, these are the simonim of the beim. Kol shukoy deres ve Agugolis. If it's Gederis means it has a sphere shape, and Gugolis means a round shape. Rosh Echad Kad, one of the ends is rounded, and one of the end is Chad, one of the end is tapered. As Rashi and the Rishonim say, that actually the word Gederis for Gugolis are identical. That means round. But so why did the Gemara use spherical and round? That to teach us that it's not perfectly round, even on the side that it's round. Furthermore, if one side is somewhat rounded and one side is papered, tahira, that's a proof that it's a kosher bird. Chelbo shnei rishay kadim or shnei rishay mchadim, but if both ends are rounded or both ends are tapered, tmeim, it's a non-kosher, it's an egg from a non-kosher bird. Chelbo mibachutz v'chelmo mibifnim, if the white is on the outside and the yellow is on the inside, tahira, that's a kosher bird. Chelmo mibachutz v'chelmo mibifnim, but if the yellow is on the outside and the white is on the inside, tmeya, it's from a non-kosher bird. Chelmoy v'chelboy muravim zebzeh, if the white and the yellow are mixed together, b'yudua shibei sheretz, we know that that's a sign that it comes from a sheretz. The Daki Tshuva discusses why will be the halacha when we have an egg that has only white and no yellow. And he brings a machloikis, if it's mutter or asur, and he seems to hold that if it's a small egg, there is more room for leniency because the yellow has not yet been developed. So ask the Gemara, why do we have to rely on what the guy is saying and make sure that he's saying it in a way that we can make sure that what he's saying is true? Why don't we just look at the egg and see that the shape of the egg and the inside of the egg, and that will be able to tell us if it's kosher or not? Answers the Gemara, Metzricha da Chatuchas. We're referring here to an egg that is cut up, and therefore, since it's cut up, it's no longer recognizable. Most Rishonim explain that the egg is no longer in its shell, and therefore, we can't rely on the shape to tell us. Other Rishonim say that if it's not in its shell, but it's still whole, we could still tell. Here we're talking about when it's cooked already. Once it's cooked, we obviously can't tell. Ask the Gemara, even if it's not in a shell, but as we just learned a moment ago, v'legdoi v'chelmoin v'chelboi, why don't we have the other test that will tell us if it's a kosher egg or not, where the white and the yellow of the egg are situated. And as the Rashba explains, even though the Gemara began that there are two simonim how to tell if the egg is kosher or not, certainly if the Rashba says that if we can't have both simonim, we can rely on one simon. And therefore, why not just do that? Why not look at the yellow and the white, and then we'll be able to tell if it's kosher or non-kosher egg? Answers the Gemara, but truth is bakara. We're referring to a situation where the eggs, where the yellow and the egg is mixed together, and therefore we can't tell by where the yellow and the egg are normally, the yellow and the white are normally, because here they're all mixed together. Ask the Gemara, u'kiyagavna mizavninim anayu, if the yellow and the white are mixed together, if they're mixed together, may we buy such eggs from a goy? For Tanya, and actually, as the Rishonim point out, the Gemara didn't have to quote the Braisa to ask the question. Because as we started the Shir, why are we saying, as we started the Sugya, why are we saying we're allowed to buy the egg from a goy? Because we have a way of independently verifying that the egg is kosher or not. But obviously, if the yellow and the white are mixed together, we lose that independent verification. So of course, there's no question that we can't rely on the goy. Why does the Gemara have to quote the Braisa? So the Rashba says, indeed, the Gemara could have asked the question it's asking without quoting the Braisa. The Gemara prefers to ask a question from a Braisa than just ask a question from Svara. Another pshat that the Rashba suggests is that if we didn't have this Braisa, then perhaps the halacha would be that even if the yellow and the white are mixed together, we'll bring another egg that has the yellow and the white mixed together. We'll look at that egg and we'll see if it's from a kosher bird. And if we'll see those two eggs look the same, that would be enough to be able to tell us that it's kosher or not. But now that we're learning a braisa, says the Rashba, that under no circumstances may we buy eggs from aklum that are trufis, so that can't be what we're referring to. Because again, says the Gemara, Vatanya, a mikron bay trefa like to come. We're not allowed to sell the bay of a trefa to a guy, because there's no way of us telling that this egg came from a trefa, and therefore, if we buy that egg from a guy, we may be eating tarfis. Elam came truf bakara, unless it's been beaten in a bowl. Once it's beaten in a bowl, and the way the crazy place he explains, Chazal were concerned. If we're now allowed to sell a whole egg from a trefa to an akum, for very good reason, because we're concerned that that akum will then sell that egg on to a Jew, and the Jew will not know that's the egg of a trefa. So what is a Jew to do when he has an egg of a trefa in his possession? He may not eat it, and now we're saying he's not allowed to sell it to an akum either. Therefore, says the crazy placey, the Gemara says, open the egg, crack the egg, and mix the yellow and white together, and then give it to a goy. And since the halacha, sell it to the goy, and since the halacha is that we are not allowed to buy such eggs from goyim, we won't have any problem. Ein loichem bei treif loich kachovim, elm ken truf bekara, lefikach ein loichem en bei truf bekara. Therefore, we should know never to buy a mixed yellow and white egg from a goy. So obviously, we're back to our question. Obviously, when we started the shiur about buying eggs from an akum, we're talking about a whole egg. If we're talking about a whole egg, why can we not rely on the simonim? Before we go further, there's a very fundamental machlokes rishonim. Our Gemara has clearly taught us that we're not allowed to buy an egg that the yellow and the white are mixed up from an akum. So the Rishonim go on to discuss, the Machlokes Rishonim, what would be the halacha if we're allowed to buy a food that has eggs in them? Tosfos says that the Gzeira of Chazal was said specifically on eggs, but not on food containing eggs. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says that this halacha is said even on food that contains eggs, because there's no reason to differentiate between foods that contain eggs versus food that, or plain eggs alone. If there's a concern that the guy is, that we can't trust the guy regarding eggs, then it should be us to buy even foods that contain eggs from an akum, unless we have an independent way of verifying that it's kosher eggs. Of course, before we go further, there is always going to be an issue that anyway, perhaps we're not allowed to buy food with eggs from an akum. Why is there no problem of bishul akum? Eggs is a classical example of food where there's a concern of bishul akum. So the Rishonim, and this is a discussion when we learn from Sefta by the Zohar, the halachas of bishul akum and pas akum, seem to explain that when we have a situation that a food contains eggs, a bread contains eggs, or a cake contains eggs, since the food is primarily a bread or a cake, where the halacha of bishul akum doesn't apply, only the halacha of pas akum applies, even though eggs are an ingredient, that wouldn't make that food subject to the halachas of bishul akum. Where the question does come up is where egg is smeared. Very commonly, egg is smeared on top of bread or on top of challah. So there the egg is not part of the challah or the cake, it's on top of it. Do we there have a concern of bishul akum? Certainly, where there's a thick coating of egg on top of a bread, we would certainly have an issue of bishul akum. When there's a thin coating, there's room for leniency. So now the question is that this halacha, that we're not allowed to buy eggs from an akum when we can't tell if it's a kosher egg, and we have the machlokes harishonim if it applies even to foods containing eggs, the same question comes up regarding egg powder. May one buy egg powder from an akum without a hechsher? Obviously, if it has a hechsher, there's no problem, because the kashrus agency is making sure that kosher eggs were used. So actually, there's a machlokes rishonim. Tosfos is of the opinion that the entire discussion that we're having in our Gemara is only in a place where most of the eggs, or almost all the eggs, are from kosher birds. But if we live in a place where the eggs come from kosher birds, where all the eggs come from kosher birds, we don't have to be concerned that we can buy eggs from anyone. Other Rishonim disagree with Tosfos. And actually, this Machlokes Rishonim is translated into a Machlokes in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch clearly takes the opinion of Tosfos that in an area where most of the eggs are from chickens, from kosher birds, we could buy eggs from Akum without any problem. The Ramah, however, says no, we have to know for sure that the egg, we have to make certain that the egg is from a kosher bird, or we have to be able to make sure that the egg comes from a kosher bird. So it seems that the machloikis, the question about egg powder, would be dependent on the machloikis on the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. It's, however, interesting to note that even though normally we follow the pasuk of the Ramah, here the Taz says he doesn't understand the Ramah, and he says certainly we should follow the opinion of Shulchan Aruch. There are other achrayim who say that even the Ramah did not mean to be, other achrayim that say that even the Ramah did not mean to be so strict as to say that if there's a place where there are only kosher eggs available, and that's the eggs that you find in the store, we need to be concerned. Rather, they explain that the Ramah is referring to a situation where a whole egg is brought to someone, and that whole egg doesn't look like the regular egg that we're used to. But it's in an area where most of the eggs come from kosher birds. That's where the Ramah is machmer, that just because this is a place where most of the birds are kosher, can we say that all the eggs are kosher? But in a place where we have no reason to have concern, say many achroinim, even the Ramah would be lenient. And therefore, many Paiskim have the opinion that since, as we know, most eggs in most places in the world today, certainly in the United States, are from chickens, we would be able to use egg powder. We're not talking about equipment issues, we're not speaking about other ingredients in the egg powder, even though it didn't have a hechsher. El Amar Rav Zeira, so now to go back to the beginning, what was Shmuel referring to? If it's a whole egg, we have the simonim. So why do we need any statement from the Akum? If it's not a whole egg, we just learned we're not allowed to buy that egg from the Akum. El Amar Rav Zeira, simonim lav deraisa. The eggs that we say can be identified by simonim cannot be relied on the deraisa. And the Gemara brings a Gaval de Garaya. Diloi temahachi, if we won't say so, Hod Amar Avasi, Shemayna Sveikasei. We learned on Daf Samach Beis Amar Beis that there were eight birds the Chazal weren't quite sure if they're kosher species or not kosher species. Lev de Gebeidu do. We should have a very simple way of determining that question. Let's look at their eggs. And they see if their eggs have the simonim of kosher eggs, that'll be a proof that these birds are kosher. If they don't have the simonim of kosher eggs, it'll be a proof that they're not kosher. El Shmaminah, from here we see simonim lav deraisa. You can't rely on the simonim midaraisa. The Ramban has somewhat of a different approach. He says that kosher birds have sometimes kosher eggs and not kosher. But if you see simonim of tamei, then for sure you can know that it's a non-kosher bird. It came from a non-kosher bird. Ask the Gemara, elamai hilksktanilo. So if we're saying that we can't rely on the simonim, ask the Gemara, so what's the point of having taught us about the simonim? It says the Marhachi Kama. This is the way to understand. Shnei Roshei Kodim, or Shnei Roshei Chadim, if both sides are rounded, or both sides are tapered, or Chelmim B'chutz V'chelmim B'fnim, or the yellow is in the outside and the white is in the inside, Vadei Tamei, it's certainly not kosher, there's nothing to talk about. Reisha chad chad, reisha chad chad. If you have one head that's tapered and one head that's rounded, v'chelvim b'chutz v'chelvim b'fnim, and the white is on the outside and the yellow is on the inside, and on top of that, v'amuloch shaloi plain v'tahu, the Akum tells you that he that this is an egg from this kosher bird, smaych alei, you could rely on him, b'stama, but when he makes this statement, when he brings the egg, even though the egg has all of the simonim, but he didn't make the statement, loitismachale, you can't rely on him. Why can't you rely on him? Deka de urva de dam leyona, because the eggs of a oiriv look very similar to the eggs of a pigeon, and therefore we need to be concerned that perhaps the eggs that we have here are the eggs of a oiriv, and not the eggs of a yoyna. And therefore, as the Rishonim explained, only when we have all of these factors working together, and the guy says that it came from the kosher bird, and we could always take this egg and compare it to other eggs that that type of kosher bird lays, that's when, and it also has the simonim, that's when we rely. There's an interesting machlokes Rishonim. How far do we need to be concerned? Pashup Shad in the Gemara, and that is the opinion of some Rishonim, is that the only way we could buy eggs from the Akum, exclusive of what we spoke before about in a place where there's only kosher eggs available, is if the egg has the simonim that are kosher, plus the fact that the guy made the statement. However, there are Rishonim that say that this concern is only by small eggs. Because both the yoina and the oiriv, the Uraim says this, that both the oiriv and the yoina have very small eggs. And therefore, we need to be concerned that maybe this yoina egg is really an oiriv egg. But when we talk about a regular size, a normal sized egg, which is, there's no non-kosher egg that looks like it, we have no need to be concerned. Omamah, so continues the Gemara, if the yellow and the white are mixed together in the egg, it's a proof that it's the egg of a sheretz. Ask the Gemara, Lamai Hilchasa, why do we have to know this? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Chama Bar Okva, Loima Shemrikma V'nikva, that if the egg has formed the embryo and part of the shell has already been pierced, metama bekadasha. It has the din of a sheretz, and we know that a sheretz, even when it's as small as a dasha, gives off tumma. So the Rishonim make a number of points. Number one is that even though it could be very small and gives off tumma, it doesn't give off tumma if it's in a completely enclosed egg. And therefore here it's referring to a situation where the shell was pierced. Furthermore, the Rishonim ask, why does it have to be usur because it developed an embryo? Why, asked Rishonim, isn't it already tamei because it's yoytze min ha-tamei? It's the egg of a sheretz. And given that a sheretz is tamei, the yoytze min ha-tamei is tamei as well. So the Ramban answers, and the Rashba says the same, that indeed there is an Issa Deraisa as soon, even on the Beis Sheretz, even though it didn't form an embryo. Here we're referring to the Issa Deraisa of Issa Malkus, that there should be a Chiv Malkus as well. However, Tosfos takes a different approach. Tosfos says that eggs are treated differently than other foods. What's the raya that eggs are treated differently than other foods? Because the halacha is that we're allowed to buy, that we're allowed to, that why is there no concern when we eat an egg that it's eivim menachai? The Torah, and we're going to learn the Gemara and Mitzvah, teaches us that we're allowed to eat eggs. The raya is from Shiluach HaKan. Shaleach to Shaleach HaSa'am. Asayim v'sabonim tikachloch. We can keep the eggs. If eggs are also, what pshat tikachloch, says the Gemara. Now, We see from here, therefore says Tosfos, that eggs are treated differently than all other areas of halacha. And therefore, even though in other subjects we have a rule of ayotzim and atame is tame, that rule doesn't apply by eggs. And therefore, until the egg actually forms into a embryo, it's not matama, and it's not also. Maskel Ravina asked Ravina, just because we see an egg that has the yellow and the white mixed together, what makes us say that it's certainly from a sheretz? Dilma de nachashu, maybe it's coming from a snake. And although, as the Rishonim point out, every sheretz is also to be eaten, only eight shrotzim give off tumah. And a snake is not one of the shrotzim that gives off tumah. Ella amarava, shimrikma v'ochlo, that if it developed an embryo and you ate it, then like Allah mishim sheretz asheretz al aretz, you'll get malchus for sheretz asheretz al aretz, because no matter what, it's coming from a sheretz which one may not eat. Ihochi asked the Gemara, may iri the tomato? Why do we have to speak about a case where it came from a non-kosher species? I feel the Torah nami, even if it came from a kosher species, the same halacha is applicable, that the embryo of an egg, that didn't come out of the egg, is also to be eaten, even if it's from a kosher bird. The Tanya, kol hasheretz, hasheretz ala oretz, l'rabbis afrochem shloim mistachu aneim, that eggs, until they open up their eyes, may not be eaten, even if they come from a kosher bird. And as Rishonim explained, actually, there's a machloikis, at what point may we eat the embryo or the chicken of an egg that came from a kosher bird. This opinion that the Gemara is quoting now is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that says, as only when the chick opens up its eyes. The opinion of the Chachamim is you don't need to wait for the chick to open up its eyes. Rather, as soon as it cracks, as soon as the shell cracks, you're allowed to eat the chick. But as far as the question of our Gemara is concerned, it doesn't make a difference. Because here we're still speaking about that it's still an egg that has an embryo in it. So it's also under all circumstances. So what's the difference? The Gemara is saying that we know it came from a non-kosher species. And therefore it is an Isser. Even if it came from a kosher species, the same Isser would apply. Answers the Gemara, the Isser to eat an embryo of a kosher species is only Midrabanan. And the Pasuk is a cross Machta Ba'alma. So therefore, if it came from a kosher species, it indeed would not be Osir. The Isser of Sheretz, HaSheretz of our Oretz, that eggs of non-kosher birds containing an embryo are only by Sheretz Oif, and therefore, if he gets the proper hasra that he was over this Isser, he would get Malchus. There's an interesting Prichadish that we see. There's a question in the Rishonim, the Prichadish says, if the Isser of Sheretz only applies by things that grow from the ground, of Sheretz HaSheretz, or even applies by things that don't grow from the ground. Says the Prichadish, from here we see a Raya, that it even applies by things that don't grow from the ground. Because our Gemara is saying that eggs and the embryo in the eggs have the Isser of Sheretz HaSheretz, even though eggs are not Gedulei Karka. Tanabon, continues the Gemara, Geulei Beyim Mutaris. So the way Rashi explains this Gemara is that our Gemara is saying that if one cooked an egg, a kosher egg, together with a non-kosher egg, we may eat the kosher egg. We're not worried that there was any taste that came out from the kosher egg from the non-kosher egg into the kosher egg. There's the Brihim Gadim discusses how do we understand what the Gemara means. Are we to understand that eggs are a food that don't give off tam? Or are we to understand that eggs give off tam, but the tam that they give off is what the halacha calls a tam kolush, a very weak tam, and therefore, since it's only a tam kolush, they don't have the ability to prohibit the other eggs in the same pot. What would be a nafkamina between these two approaches in a situation where we have a davar sheyesh lo matirim? So we know that the halacha is that a davar sheyesh lo matirim doesn't become bottle. So if we're going to say that eggs don't give off tam at all, so it wouldn't make a difference if it's a davar sheyesh lo matirim or it's not a davar sheyesh lo matirim. But if on the other hand we're going to say that it gives off a tam, it's only a tam kolush, then by a davar sheyesh lo matirim we would have to be machmir. Furthermore, the Rishonim discuss, the Paiskim discuss, is that this is only in a situation when the egg is still in its shell. But once the egg is no longer in the shell, certainly the egg gives off tam. This way Rashi and the Mefarshim that we just quoted explain the Gemara. There are other approaches in this Gemara, and that approach in the Gemara, and those approaches say that the Gemara, the discussion of the Gemara here is where somebody pulled eggs out from the body of a bird. May one eat those eggs? And the Gemara is teaching us, as long as they still don't, if they don't have any gidin and any blood vessels connecting them to the body of the bird anymore, they may be eaten. Bayim Mezaris. Says the Gemara, we now speak about Bayim Mezaris, and it's very important when we speak about the subject of Bayim Mezaris, because Bayim Mezaris is really the eggs that we have, according to the way most Rishonim explain Bayim Mezaris. We know that typically how, or traditionally, how were eggs created? Like everything else, a male and a female chicken together have cohabitate, and they have an egg. But there's a different type of egg called safna da'ara. Safna da'ara means when the chicken, the hen, got heated up through an external force, and that created that it should develop and ultimately hatch an egg. Those eggs are not your typical eggs. They're bayim mezaris, and those eggs, not like the regular eggs, those eggs can never develop into a chicken. They will always remain an egg. And our Gemara is saying that if you have such an egg that was created through Safna da'ara, there's no point in the hen sitting on the egg that the egg should hatch, because this egg will never hatch. What happened if a hen sat on this egg? So it got disgusting. And the halacha is nefesh yofa ta'achle. Only somebody who doesn't care about something that's untasty, that's not good, may eat them. Because it's disgusting that the egg was sat upon by the hen for such a long time for no purpose. That's the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara. Other Rishonim explain that the Gemara could even be speaking about a regular egg that was made by a male and a female, but just that the hen sat on the egg much longer than normally a hen sits on the egg. Interesting that to point out that the Gemara is saying, nefesh yafa taichlum, only someone who doesn't get disgusted by them may eat it. Seems to be that somebody who's disgusted may not eat it, because the isra is bal tishaksu. But the Pais can make an interesting observation. From here we see that the din about the shaksu is a subjective rule. For one person, the food will be considered repugnant and will be over about the shaksu if he eats it. But for the next person, there wouldn't be that concern. And if I can discuss where in the halacha do we find that something is mutter for one person and not mutter for another person. And they want to make the following distinction. There are two types of foods that there could be an isser about the shaksu by. One type of food is that the food is inherently repugnant. There we don't make distinctions between one individual and not another individual. Either it is or it isn't. Al Gemara, the issue is not with the food itself. The issue is with the knowledge that the chicken, that the hen, sat on this egg all this time. When it depends on knowledge, something that I know might bother me, and something that you know might not bother someone else. And here Baal Tashach actually becomes a subjective rule. Nimtzale kardam, if a spot of blood was found on such an egg, on a bein muzaris, so since, as we just explained, this egg can never develop into a chicken, there is no iser of dam of an egg by such a chicken, and zorek es adam v'ochlas ashar. You could throw away the blood and eat the rest of the egg. And this is the reason why b'zman hazeh, since most eggs are safna the arrow, the Shulchan Aruch and the Paiskim are much more lenient in the halacha of checking eggs. Because we know, of course, that we're supposed to check an egg when we open up an egg if we want to fry it or use it as an ingredient. But if we're going to cook an egg, a hard-boiled egg or a soft-boiled egg, we can't check it before we cook it. Why are we more lenient? Because most eggs are safna the arrow. And since most eggs are safna the arrow, the halacha is we could be more lenient, and if we can't check the egg, we don't have so much of a concern. However, Rav Moshe does say that the halacha is that if we find an egg, even though, as we just said, most eggs b'zman hazeh are safna the arrow, says Rav Moshe that if we find an egg that has blood on it, that even though mi'ifra din, it's mutter, he says one should be machmer to throw out that egg. Continues the Gemara. And again, the way most Rishonim discuss, we're speaking now about a regular egg. And blood on an egg, as we just learned, is an issue. The Gemara discusses when is it an issue and when is it not an issue. On Rav Yimya, Ruhu shenimtza al kesha shalom. If the blood is found and the kesher, then it's mutter. What is the kesher? The kesher is where the chick develops from. So if it was found on that spot, we need not be concerned that the rest of the egg is non-kosher, because it hasn't had yet a chance to spread. But if it's found elsewhere, we need to be concerned that it spread throughout the egg, and therefore it's awesome. Says the Gemara, Tani Dustoy Avud Rebbe Ptarki, Loishan Al Nimtza Al Chelben Shalom. This that we said that the egg is permitted, it's only when it's found on the white. Av Al Nimtza Al Chelben Shalom, if it's found on the yellow, Afilu Bei Asur, then the egg is Asur, Mai Tama, the Shadat Tichl V'Kluh. And as Machlokes, we're showing him how to understand what Tani Dustoy is learning. Rashi explains that the story is not arguing with Rabbi Yirmiyah. He's agreeing with Rabbi Yirmiyah, and he's just saying that the fact that the blood was found on the yellow of the egg is clearly an indication that the blood has spread throughout the entire egg, and that the entire egg is a non-formed embryo, which we're not allowed to eat. There's an issa dam on it. Machlokes is an issa d'oraisa or an issa d'rabbanan, but we certainly may not eat it. There are other Rishonim that say that the story of Avud Rav Tzadoki is actually arguing on Rav Yirmiyah. And Rav Yirmiyah said it makes a difference if it was found on the kesher, that then it's mutter, anywhere else it's aser. And the story is making a distinction between whether it's found on the white or on the yellow. And he's saying that if it's found on the white, then it's mutter. If it's found, that throw out the blood and eat the rest of the egg. If it's found on the yellow, the entire egg is awesome. The Tana taught rices in front of Abaya said just the opposite. And he said that if it was found on the yolk, it's permitted. If it was found on the white, it's aser. And Abaya corrected him to say, as we learned just now, the Chassam Sofer has a long discussion that the question that they had was, from where is the egg created? From where is the embryo created? From the white or from the yellow? And they wanted to make a distinction between kosher birds and non-kosher eggs. Amachizkiya. Menayim lebeyer tameyer shiyasur minatayra. How do we know that the egg of a non-kosher bird may not be eaten? So the Rishonim ask, Why do we need to have a pasuk that the egg of a non-kosher bird is asur? We know, as we quoted earlier in our shir, that the halach is kol ayotzi menat tamei is tamei. Tosfos says that since, as we learned earlier, since as we mentioned earlier, eggs are the exception to the rule. The really eggs ought to be asur between because of eivim menachai. Yet we know, as we said earlier, the eggs are permitted. We would think that so too the halacha of that even eggs that come from non-kosher species are mutter. That's why we need the pasuk that we're now going to quote. Tosfos, however, has a problem with this pshat. Tosfos says, because and Tosfos therefore says a different pshat. He says that even though there's a din of hayotzim and atamei tamei, we need this pasuk to teach us this halacha, because we would have maybe learned from Shiluach HaKan that even the eggs of a tamei are tahor. The Rambam says the entire concept of kol hayotzim and atamei tamei is only established after we have our Gemara that teaches us that the eggs of a kosher, of a non-kosher species are not permitted. So he says you can't ask a question about kol hayotzim min hatamei tamei until we establish this concept of kol hayotzim min hatamei tamei. Amar Chizkiya, so again says the Gemara, minayim lebeit tamei shiyasur min hatayra, shenema ves bas hayana. The Torah speaks to bas hayana. There's a question, v'chibas yesh liyana, el ezer, what does the Torah mean about the ostrich's daughter? It doesn't speak about the daughter itself, because it gives eggs, and by eggs there's no boys and girls. Ella, to teach us the din of Beit Tamei, ask the Gemara, the Dilma Hanushmayu, when the Pasuk speaks about the Bas Hayana, it's not here to teach us that there's a new, that there's about the egg, but rather teach us that there's a new type of bird that's called the Bas Hayana. The pasuk, when it speaks about the Yana says Bas Ami La'achzor Ki Ye'ena B'Midbas. We see it's not called the Bas Yana, it's called the Yana. V'loy, after what we see, the pasuk says Ksiv Esen Mispit Ketanim Ve'Evel K'Benois Yana. So we see that they are called B'Nois Yana. Answers the Gemara, what the pasuk doesn't mean to say that there's a new species called Bas Yana, but rather it means Kiyana zu shemasabelus abanel. Ask the Gemara, but there's another pasuk for ksiv shoknisham benois yana. So clearly there's a species called Bas Yana. Kiyan answers the Gemara, what that pasuk means, Kiyana zu shechenes imbanel. Ask the Gemara, there's another pasuk, tach bi'edeni chayis asoda tanim benois yana. That the pasuk there says that the entire world, all the animals of the world, will honor Hashem, and speaks about the Benois Yana. Visat Daitach Beya Bey Bas Mei Mashiruhu. So the question of the Gemara is, we're saying that the pasuk mentioning Bas Yana means the eggs. It doesn't mean the eggs. It means this new, the species, a bird called Benois Yana. Says the Gemara, Ewa, indeed, says the Gemara, that the pasuk sometimes use the words Hayana, and sometimes the pasuk say Bas Hayana. The Shana Hacha, the pasuk safal shtei tevis. The fact that the Torah separated the bas and the yana into two separate words, that clearly is an indication that it's not talking about the species called bas yana, but rather it's talking about the eggs. Or mid the pasuk of safra, asked just because it's separated into two words, betarati tevis, shmam no trei shemus ninu, doesn't mean that it's two separate words. El ma'ata es kidaloima. When the pasuk speaks about kidaloima, one of the kings by war, who waged war with the five kings of Sodom, where the word Kedaloimer is written as two separate words. The pasuk was Safra betray. Hachanami the Tartish Neinu doesn't mean it's two names. Of course it's not. He had one name, Kedaloimer. It's interesting that even though our Gemara seems to say that when the word Shadaloymer is written in the Torah, it's written as one word. Al Mesaira as two words. Al Mesaira, and you look into the Sefer Torah, is that it's written as one word. Amri, Hasim b'shtei tevis paskalahu. It's separated into two words, b'shnei shitan lepaskalahu. But you can't write the Kedar and the Loimer into two separate lines. Avahacha, but by the Bas Yana, it's so separate that you can write the Bas and the Yana, I feel with Shnei Sheet impossible. You can write them into two separate lines. So since it can be written into two separate lines, it's obvious that it's separate, the Bas and the Yana, to be treated separately, because it's not speaking about this separate species called the Bas Yana, even though there is indeed such a species. It's speaking about the eggs. The Rishonim and the Paiskim extrapolate from this Gemara that when one is writing a get, he should not, and the person, the husband or the wife whose name is being written in the get, if he has more than one name, they should not write the two names on two separate lines, but rather, since one, the two names, the person has two names, they're considered all part of one, it's all one person, and one person's name, as our Gemara is saying, should be all written always only on one line.